Good morning. Have you ever encountered God fully in your life? Mystics and saints have shared their experiences of encountering God. This morning, we read about the first disciples' encounter with the full revelation of Jesus in the Transfiguration. Reading from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 43. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came over and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered into the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met them. And then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seized him, and all at once he shrieks. It throws him into convulsions until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions, but Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Deep, rich experiences of God's presence there in your life's journey. Powerful experiences. Transitional experiences that may have changed the course of your journey for the rest of your life, perhaps. Life-changing experiences of God alive in your journey. I've had some. Some of my deepest experiences of God really would center around my call going into ministry, leaving one profession and a call to go into a next and a new direction. It's interesting timing to speak about Reverend Law this morning, because when I was starting to feel those calls in the late 80s in my life, it was Doug Law that I went to see in Toronto at his church in Timothy Eaton Memorial. Kind of discern some of those experiences I was having and to get a clear sense of the direction for my life. What about you? What about the experiences of God that you have had? God touching your life, God speaking to you, God intervening amidst your life's journey. Now, to be sure, they're not always these lightning bolt experiences of God tearing things apart and all of a sudden these vivid experiences happening. Sometimes experiences of God are those of comfort, of God's presence there amidst your journey. a feeling that all will be well in time, a sense that we are not alone in this journey that sometimes seems so frayed and confusing. Sometimes those experiences of God happen right up here, in the sharing of the bread and the wine, and we feel, we know that Jesus is experienced right there in our midst. Sometimes they happen out there, in a day like today, in a beautiful sunshine, and we'll go for a walk in the woods or by the water and experience God right in our midst. Other times it might happen at bedside, and we sit or kneel at bedside and we offer our prayers before sleep. For the first disciples, for Peter, James, and John, it happened at the top of a mountain. At the mountaintop, when they ascended the mountain with Jesus, that was where they met a full revelation of God in Jesus Christ. Mountains have always been places where people of faith have sensed the holy. We might think of the many, many stories right throughout scriptures of people experiencing the holy at the top of a mountain. When we think about Moses, for example, we think about Noah, Abraham, Noah, for example. Noah, after that long sea voyage on the ark with his family, when he saw the promise of God in the rainbow, Mount Ararat was where that ark ends up. Or Abraham, at the time of the sacrifice of his son Isaac, it was Mount Moriah where God did provide. Or Moses descending Mount Sinai, there with the Ten Commandments in either hand. Or Moses at the top of Mount Pisgah when he with his people were looking out and could see the promised land. Or Elijah at the top of Mount Carmel, showing God's supremacy over all others at Mount Carmel. Or Jesus, there on the shores of Galilee at the Mount, at the Sea Mountain, there at the top Sermon on the Mount, as they call it. Or Jesus, right near the end, at Mount Olivet, praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this morning, the disciples are ascending Mount Tabor. Ascending Mount Tabor, and have this full, rich, life-changing experience of God's presence for them, fully revealed in Jesus Christ. I wonder what that would have been really like. Talking to someone in my family, and they said, "Do you really believe that that happened?" Well, here's what I think it was like. I was talking to some young adults, a young adult couple not too long ago, and they were sharing their experience of going to a church that changed their life. They were telling me what it was like to go to this new church, and everything came alive. It was like they were speaking to them. The music was singing to them. The words of the pastor were speaking just to them and their needs. It was as if for them, Jesus Christ was fully alive in that experience of worship. That's what I think it was like for the disciples. You see, the three gospel accounts of the Transfiguration, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all talk about it from the perspective of vision. All of a sudden, from everything else, they could see Jesus for who he was, coming alive. His clothes were dazzling white, as Siobhan and the others were fascinated with white this morning. If you were wearing white, you were very popular during the children's story, weren't you? All of a sudden, they could see Jesus for who he truly was. On either side of Jesus, Moses and Elijah. Moses, the giver of the law, and Elijah, the one who offered the prophetical tradition, and Jesus bringing things together, offering it to them fully. Scholars talk about this text, the Transfiguration, as being a composite of the entire gospel tradition. We have Jesus' baptism represented here. The words very similar to the words being offered at Jesus' baptism. We see the clouds above, and the words being offered, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." We see Jesus as being offered as a fulfillment of the law, a fulfillment of the prophets. We see the passion predictions of Jesus' death, his suffering, We see Jesus' promised return and his resurrection. In many ways, this is a gospel in miniature, all represented in one powerful experience for the disciples. And that would cause them and cause us to ponder the nature of our experience as people of faith. Problem. The problem is, as we take this all in, it's no different than with a problem when we're stuck at the top of a mountain and it's so wonderful and powerful. The problem is you can't stay there all day. The problem is it's not meant to be taken in, and it's not a standalone event. It's meant to fuel our spirits. It's meant to empower the journey. It's meant to help others to shine and live. In short, you can't stay on the mountaintop forever. Now, to be sure, the disciples wanted to stay, and I suspect I would have wanted to stay too. The disciples would offer to Jesus and Moses and Elijah to make them comfortable and help them stay as long as they will. We'll build tents and buildings for you to stay. Make them comfortable and stay as long as you possibly can. This is a human thing that we would do. It's natural for us to want to do this, to be at the top of a mountain, there in the vicinity, basking in the light of God, safe away from our problems, away from our enemies, away from anything that could possibly hurt us, there basking in the light of God. Now, I need to give you a bit of honesty here, because there was a choice that I needed to make when I was choosing the readings for this morning. The readings have two options when it came to the gospel selection. The reading is technically the Transfiguration story, which was about two-thirds of the reading we heard. The optional part that the lectionary gives us is to include the story that happens after the Transfiguration, the story of the disciples coming down the mountain, the stories of the Father and the Son not receiving healing from the disciples, the stories of Jesus challenging and chastising the disciples for not being people of faith. The option that I chose, as you heard, was to include that second portion of the Transfiguration reading. Perhaps you would have preferred that I didn't, because there are some challenging words contained in there, aren't there? The option in the second part is really around what happens after. Jesus descends down the mountain, the disciples go first. And we find that the disciples are unable to do the work that Jesus has charged them to do. Jesus arrives later on. A son is possessed by demons. Father begs for healing because the disciples had not been able to offer healing and light. Jesus, first of all, heals that boy, casts out the demon, and then Jesus offers some very harsh words to the disciples. "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you?" Ouch. Perhaps you would have preferred that I didn't put in this second part of the reading. Those words sting. Those words would have stung to the three disciples. And those words sting to all of us who seek to follow Jesus' way, to live his light, because we know how truly, truly hard it is to live our faith, don't we? But we also know that we always seem to feel inadequate. We always seem to feel that we've come up short because we have such a challenging task in living in the way of Christ. In some ways, we love the Transfiguration moment. We love to be at the mountaintop, basking in the light of God, experiencing God's presence. But the living of the faith, sharing of the light, that's the rub, isn't it? I don't know of anyone in this sanctuary, I don't know of any Christian that I've ever met that feels that they're doing things perfectly, that feels fully adequate. And we give thanks for God's forgiveness and God's love in our journey. But we know that what we have is a very, very challenging task, following in Jesus' way, sharing Jesus' light, being Jesus' disciples is not an easy task. I'd like to just direct your attention up to the screen, if I can, for a moment. This is a 16th century painter that you have probably enjoyed over the years as well, named Raphael. Raphael has painted this image, which is called the Transfiguration. And in this image, as you can see, there's two sections in the painting, really. Top half, which is all about light, and the bottom half, which is all about darkness. In the image, the upper part, you can see the Transfiguration. You can see Jesus and Elijah and Moses up in the sky, fully revealed in light. We can see the clouds in the background. We can almost imagine the words in the text, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." You can see the Transfiguration moment as the disciples are overcome, basking in glory with the wonder of that experience. The lower half of the painting reveals the challenge in the second half of the reading. We can see, in many ways, the chaos of the world. We can see the need there for the light from the upper portion to come down to the lower. If you look towards the right, you can see a father holding his son, needing light, needing healing for his son, afraid for his very life. We can see in many ways fear, life falling apart. And the question that art historians talk about, Raphael trying to offer, is will the light from the upper part, will the light come down the mountain to the rest of the world? Will the disciples be the ones that bring the light to the world that all might receive it? Or will that Transfiguration moment be for naught? We come to an end. I just wanted to share a story from a church aptly named Transfiguration Lutheran Church. It's a church from the South Bronx area in New York, and as you know, economically, this area had made some very, very big changes, and they've certainly experienced it in their ministry there. The story is called Breathing Spirit, A Spiritual Journey in the South Bronx. And it's written by the minister of that church. He served for 2 decades, Reverend Heidi Newman. And it's a story that reads about a community's struggle with rising poverty and the challenges that all that go with it. Challenges with lack of education and lack of opportunities. The challenges with crime and drug use growing in the area. And in many ways, the book at the beginning reads of a community devoid of hope. The church, as this kind of grew and grew in the neighborhood, grew very afraid of the neighborhood that they were called to serve. They increasingly came to a time of locking their doors, being afraid for the people that were in that area and trying to secure their premises. Heidi tells the story about some of the changes that happened for them, and I want to get this absolutely right, so I've got some words from her book that I wanted to share. She writes this: "When Peter and the others came down from the mountain, they found a father and a child gasping for life. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his faith, and they found Transfiguration. And so it is. When the disciples of the Bronx Church, when we unlocked our doors of our private shelter and began to step into our neighborhood, we met the distress of our community, convulsed and mauled by poverty, but we also discovered the Transfiguration as a congregation in connection with others." See, I think the real beautiful wisdom of the lectionary's option to include the story that happens after the Transfiguration, because that's the real Transfiguration story. The real Transfiguration story is not the one where the disciples are basking in the light of God, because Peter, James, and John did not become disciples after receiving the light of Jesus. They became disciples after they received those challenging words from Jesus. Those challenging words that called them to task, to live out their faith, to follow the way, to live the light that they had already received. Hard words indeed, but hard words spoken in love. Do Jesus' mission not just to bask in that light, to be, as they say, ambassadors of Christ. We were to read on in the narrative. This seems to almost to be the pivotal point for the disciples when they begin to really receive some of Jesus' pivotal teaching, and when they begin to get closer and closer to getting it and to living out the faith. So how do we live out our faith? How do we reflect the light? How do we help that light come from the mountaintop and allow it to be shed into the lower portion of the world? Well, at Northwood, we talk about embracing the community, the love of Christ. It's powerful words that you created as a community of faith. Individually, you think about the ways that you live your faith out, the unique ways that you live your faith out each and every day, in the ways that you are uniquely enabled. 1 week from today, we're going to gather, as we do once a year for our annual meeting, and consider the ways that we live out our faith as a community, the ways that we live it out, the ways that we share our faith. These are significant, significant conversations, the ways that we can be light bearers, that we can share that journey, that we experience the light on Sunday morning, then share it the rest of the world in the week. And so thanks be to God for those experiences, those peak mountain experiences that we have of light, that we experience in our journeys. And thanks be to God for the ways that we live them out. Amen.